time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Thank you very much, choir, and we welcome you at Bethel Baptist Church today. Here is our Christmas program ready for you, and I hope you will enjoy it and praise the Lord together with us. We're going to ask you, please, not to applause the choir until they end, so we will see if you are good. All right. And we want to welcome also those who are listening. I don't know if you are passing by with your car, or you're in Carmel, or in Santa Cruz, or in the north in San Jose. If somebody is listening through AABKMC, we welcome you. And I know there are many who are listening in San Juan Bautista and all these areas. And we welcome you again, and we bring to your home the program of our church via radio. And so we are connected right there from the church live, and we are just pleased to bring Christ's honor and glory to you. If you are the first time in our church, I always like to say thank you to you. Our church bulletin has a little lapel that you can really turn like this and put your name and address and phone number in. I promise I don't embother you. I just send you a card and say thank you to you. I never embother people unless they invite me to their home. And if you invite me to your home, you have chocolate cake, coffee ready, and it will be fantastic. All right? All right. Let me say the scripture for today is written by a doctor, Dr. Luke, in the Bible, chapter 2, verse 11. It is what this medical doctor says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." City of David is Jerusalem, which is Christ the Lord. What a great message written by a physician who can tell you the truth if that was a virgin birth or not. And so the scripture is so beautiful and so fulfilled. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning that together we can bring praises to your name. We are grateful that today we can dedicate the entire Sunday to worship with you, to say great things about the name of Jesus, and above all, Father, to praise his name, because one day he came down to this universe, dwell among us, walk with us, die at the cross of Calvary, and rose again up to heaven. Father, for those who believe, we call him the Savior. But today we celebrate his birthday, and we do with great joy, because without the birthday, there will be no cross. And so, Father, thank you that you dare to send your son to die on our behalf. Oh, Father, thank you that when we saw him as really is, we in thee understood. And now, Father, we believe and we thank you for. Bless us as together we worship, as together we praise the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. If you take the hymn books right there on the pew, number 100, that will be the song for this morning. Number 100 in the hymn book, please.
Oh, pray together. Father, we thank you that now we come to the moment of giving. Last week, you provide for us work. And out of that work, in proportion to our love and our heart for you, we bring this offering to you for the support of the gospel. And if somebody do not have work, Father, we pray that you will provide to such a one so that he too may have something to provide for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that not only we provide for the spiritual ministry, but in our church this year, we have been blessed with a lot of people who have need. And then, Lord, we have enough money to provide for them. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are in need, who knocked the door, and our treasury was good enough to provide and to get them and give them a breach so that they can start all over again. Thank you, Lord, that this too was the work of Christ on this earth. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. And now, with no more introductions to make and no more things to do, except to listen carefully, our choir has practiced for hours. This is not a professional choir, neither this is a performance. These people believe every word they're going to sing. And that's what really makes this beautiful. And I hope it will be pleasing to your ears and touch your heart as the choir of Bethel Baptist Church will bring the Christmas cantata for 1997 under the direction of Terry Dostin.
Lord of kings and Lord of kings, Lord of lords, King of kings. Christ our Lord and King is born.
Come, let us adore him, Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. Emmanuel, God with us.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appear, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer, our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and best dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel.
Behold, a virgin Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born. On those living in a land of darkness, a light has dawned. To us, a son is given.
God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judea, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went to register with Mary, to whom he was pledged to be married and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Snows upon a winter night, was born a child, the Christmas rose, the King of love and light.
Oh,
shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I give you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
And suddenly he was with the angel, and majesty of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, a star in the east on Christmas morn. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. It will lead to the place where the Savior's born. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. If you take good heed to the angel's words, rise up, shepherd, and follow. You'll forget your flocks, you'll forget your herds. Rise up, shepherd, and follow.
Said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Come to Bethlehem and see the angel. Come, my Lord, attend me. Oh,
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. He then called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. Then Herod called the Magi and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them. On coming to the house, Magi saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Jesus, how tiny thou art. I'll make a place for thee in my heart. And when the stars in the heavens I see,
come and worship the one who is the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Let us rejoice. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and they would not know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let us rejoice. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us rejoice.
Rejoice, 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 rej
Thank you, choir. And I'd like to, no, I don't want to preach to you this morning. We're already almost out of our time. But I want just to share a thought with you as I go to the stores, as I drive in my neighborhood, and I see lights and houses. I want to relate to you just in a few minutes a story. It has nothing to do with Christmas, but has to do with a man who had an encounter with God, Paul. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, this is the first of his three testimonies in how he, this great philosopher of Greece, encountered God. He said that, meanwhile, said the Bible, Philip's, a deacon of the church, was preaching in one area. Meanwhile, that happened in Samaria. Saul, that was his previous name, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest. Now, you have to understand, at this time of history, the high priest was like the president of a nation, of a king, and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way. Now, that's the first name that Christianity have in the record of history. You don't find the word Christianity, you find the word the way, because they preach Jesus is the way. So they were called the peoples of the way. And the Bible said that in this historical book, the Saul said, if I find anybody who follow the way, whether men or women, he might take him as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, as he was near to Damascus, said the Bible, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and here is the point I want to make with you this morning. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, you heard what the Bible says? He heard a voice and clearly understood what that voice said. Not only he understood, he saw who was speaking. Because the Bible said that he responded in this way, who are you, Lord? And he used the word kurion in the original language, which means the highest degree of lordship, only used for God. And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the answer came to him, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. And then Paul replied, then Jesus said, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now that's one section of this story. Now in 1 minute, the other section of this story. The very next verse said this. There were men traveling with Paul. He was not doing the capture of the people by himself. They have some soldiers with him. There were men traveling with Saul. They stood speechless. And look what the Bible said. These men, they hear the voice, the sound of the voice, but did not see anyone. They hear the sound of what's going on, but don't see anybody. Now, do you see what I see as you look into our America, coast to coast? We have in the choir people from Missouri, people from New Jersey, people from Pennsylvania. So, and I travel because of the radio broadcast all over the East Coast and South and North. And I have the pleasure to know America. I guess as many of you do not know, because I had the opportunity to visit in cities and in little places and in Christmas times and on other occasions. Paul's companion had an experience, but they did not meet the Lord. That's what I want to tell you. As you go to Lake Anderson, there is a house just at the entrance of the Holiday Estate. No more than maybe 500 yards. Here's two houses. They must have 75,000 to 80,000 lights, because I put 2,000 lights in my stairway and there's nothing. You drive over there and you just flash this. I'm going to knock the door of those neighbors of mine, and I'm going to ask them if they know Jesus, because they have the lights. See, the key is not to have the lights and the presence and every sound of Christmas. The key is what Paul experienced. He heard the voice, but he knew who was talking. Now, when we say Christmas, what that means to you. A holiday season, a break, school break, what means to you? When we say Christmas, that means, oh, that's American holidays, like one Arab told me the other day, oh, that's an American holiday. That means to you? Is that what Christmas means to you? At least means to the state of California, because it's illegal to put some even Christmas trees in public offices or to mention Christ. So Christmas must mean something else. I wrote a letter to the governor. Why don't you work on Christmas Day? Because if Christ is nothing to you, well, then why celebrate him? You see, these people saw the light. And that means that it is possible to be present when great things happen. But no great things happen to you. My friend, if you have not Christ in your heart, you who are here, and those who are listening via the radio, and those who will listen to thousands of tapes that later on go around the country, I tell you this, if you have no Christ, you cannot come to believe that he really came, the Messiah of Israel, came to save your life, because there is a hell and there is a heaven. And everything has a beginning. The beginning is in that manger. That was the very Son of God that developed his life for 30 years, and nobody knows what he did. He was a carpenter. And then after, when he came, he blessed humanity with miracles. He can speak, and a girl who was dead came alive. He can visit a friend, and he said, "Your Bobby, Lazarus, die." And he said, "Oh, no, this is for the glory of God." And he comes to the tomb. Have you ever been in a cemetery? I read that passage in John 11. And I just don't understand this. So I went to the cemetery here in Palo Alto. And I stood in the cemetery in all the tombs. And I walk on it. And I thought for a moment, imagine if I have the power to say, "You, so-and-so, come out." I was on the edge of Pennsylvania and New Jersey by the Watergate on the Delaware River. That's my favorite conference place when I preach. There's a cemetery. I took my bike in the morning, and I went about 2 miles from there. There is a cemetery. There are people from the 1751, 1731 over there. These are our fathers who came to this country. And imagine if I can put my hands over there and say, "You so-and-so, come out of there." And the person will come out shaking his head, "How are you?" Imagine. I had no idea. I can't comprehend it. Because I never saw one, I can't comprehend it. This Jesus of Nazareth came just to do that, not only physically, who was a demonstration of our spiritual resurrection. When you understand the voice of Christ, that he's telling you, "Hey, I die for your sins. I pay for you." When you understand that, when you say, "Lord, have mercy on me," and you have peace of mind and peace of heart, you have heard the voice of God. Not only you have seen the lights of Christmas, but you have heard the voice of God. And when you say, "God, I don't have faith, and neither I have faith." 18, 19, I had no faith. I was a soccer player, full of enthusiasm. The only thing I wanted to do was play soccer and date girls. That's the only thing I wanted to do. But when God strikes you, you become real with God and real with yourself. Now, in America, 360 million Americans will have the flashing lights of Christmas. How many? I wonder. How many will hear the voice and know that is Christ? I leave that with you. Father, thank you today for the blessing that we have in celebrating the birthday of Christ. Many of us and many people who live around us can say, "Yes, Pastor, not only we have the lights of Christmas, but we hear the voice of Christmas. Christ Jesus, our Lord." And so, Father, we thank you that in your mercy, you came down one day into a place, little place in Argentina, through the voice of an American missionary. And he told me about you. And I believe it. And so, Father, now we are here in America proclaiming to everyone, Christ is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father, said the scripture. If we read the Bible, we have his voice. If we believe the Bible, we hear his voice. And so, Father, I pray that you will have mercy of many, and that many will turn to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Christmas rose. He's King of love and light. Let every voice acclaim his name, the rainbow carries round. From paradise to earth he came, that we would hear my grace.
Sunday morning worship service is over, and we usually finish a different way, but we want to be like a family today. And there are two things I want to say before we leave. There's coffee here in the back. That's not the one thing, but there's coffee here in the back if you want to drink a cup of coffee. And you got cookies over there? All right. You got cookies? All right. Chocolate cookies also. But tonight, we have two Sunday schools, one at 10 o'clock. And one, 4 o'clock, there's our children ministry, and a lot of kids coming. And all of them are going to participate. It's a long list like that. They're going to play the piano. They're going to do all kinds of things. A big list like that. They put it in my office. So pastor can preach. They told me, it's out. The children took over. Fantastic. And we're going to sing some songs together. And we're going to allow your children to bless us with the gift that God has given them. I look for them, and I respect them. And each one of them is different. And nobody is a rascal and a bad boy, because I was terrible. Not in the sense that, you know, the movement's on, but I have my mind to engineer things that my mother has to work a lot with me, you know, and to make me things done. So I look to the children as a potential, regardless who the child is, as a potential in the hands of God. And so tonight, we're going to have a great blessing from them. It's at 6 p.m. At 4 o'clock, we have just a little class where we talk together. But I think we're going to cancel today. All right? We cancel the 4 o'clock class. Pastor's going to take a good vacation. Don't cut my check, though. All right. And then we're going to do one more thing. We're going to ask Terry Tostes to come here, please. This lady has worked hours and hours and works hours and hours for the church. Let's give a good hand. And the husband is going to give her, okay. All right, this is for you. We love you. And thank you. You got no salary. She loves the Lord. And she works. And she works. And love everybody who come to the choir. So if you are not in our choir, in January, you talk to her and be in our choir. Thank you, Terry. Thank you. All right. God bless you. And have a blessed Christmas.